This podcast is brought to you by Metamora Martial Arts, teaching karate and self-defense techniques to children, teens, and adults since 2002. Check them out at metamoramartialarts.com and like Metamora Martial Arts on Facebook. Hey guys, and welcome to episode 4 of the Martial Arts Podcast. My name is Adam Bachler. I'm a school owner, I'm an author, and apparently I'm the only guy doing Tai Chi in a park on a harbor in San Diego at 7 in the morning. But most importantly, I am a martial artist. I've been studying martial arts for 11 years, and I have no plans of stopping anytime soon. Before we go any further, this is a podcast supported by martial artists just like you. Rate, download, or subscribe on iTunes or at adambachler.com. You can also like the Martial Arts Podcast on Facebook. Let me know how I'm doing there, and you can also ask me questions, and I'll do my best to answer them on a future show. This month, I talked to Mr. Ed Parker. He's a kung fu stylist. I've known him for several years now. We first met at a martial arts seminar put on by Kim Aldous. It was a women's self-defense seminar, and Mrs. Aldous, as you guys may have correctly guessed, is married to Steve Aldous, who was on the last episode. Mr. Parker operates the School of Combative Arts in Peoria, Illinois, and you can find them on Facebook and see a bunch of cool pictures from seminars that they've done. The thing I like the most about Mr. Parker is that he has so much fun teaching. It's infectious. I've been to two of his seminars, one in Peoria and one at the USA Martial Arts Hall of Fame in Indianapolis, and you can see footage of that event by going to the Metamora Martial Arts YouTube page. But he just had so much fun there, and you could tell that the crowd really enjoyed it. They had a bunch of fun too, but you know, Mr. Parker was teaching serious techniques. You know, in addition to the seminars, both being from the same area, we've been fortunate enough to get together and talk martial arts a number of times. Despite the fact that he's a self-described goofball, he's serious about his martial arts training, as you can tell from this episode, and he's a great role model for martial arts students and instructors everywhere. Now, before we get into the interview, what I'd like to talk about a little bit this month is training methods. What I find interesting about Eddie Parker is that he trained old school. Lots of people like to say that, but he really did it. He talks in this episode about how his uncle trained him, and his uncle, Dexter Parker, was like Mr. Miyagi before there was the Karate Kid. This was before the Karate Kid ever came out. His uncle would make him wash dishes and vacuum the floor and mow the lawn, all with the hidden purpose of teaching martial arts. And I just think that's so cool how his uncle was almost mysterious about what he was teaching him. Mr. Parker talks about how his uncle made him get into a stance, and then he would read Bible verses to him. And what he doesn't mention in this podcast, and what he's told me before, is that the stance work made his legs very, very strong. So strong, in fact, that he once told me he could jump clear over fences in high school. Personally, I trained in a matted, air-conditioned wrestling room that was part of the high school that I went to, and now I train my students in a community center with no mats on a tile floor. But my opinion is that it really doesn't matter what type of facility it is that you train in, or really even how you train, as long as you have a competent instructor who can help you learn what you need to learn. If you train like Eddie Parker did, that's great. If you get the latest gimmicks from martial arts equipment suppliers, and your students know how to defend themselves, that's great too. Like I said, in my opinion, it really doesn't matter, but however you train, your foundation must be solid. All that said, here's my chat with Eddie Parker.
Oh, man. So where can I start? I actually started doing martial arts. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be brutally honest. I was forced to do martial arts at the age of 4.
By who?
Grandmaster Parker or Sifu Dexter Parker or Sihang, Sensei Dexter Parker, however you want to put it. My uncle, man. So my uncle is, oh my goodness, I think he's 59 now. I think he just turned 59 this year, and I'm 40. So he's technically 20 years older than me. He didn't start, one of the styles that he started teaching me as a traditional system within the system, and I'll kind of give you a backstory on this in a second. The Hungar Kung Fu is more of the organized set that I have. Like, that's the thing that I could teach you, like, forms, weapons, kata, however they want to say it, names, and systematic systems. So, you know, like, Hungar Kung Fu has the five animal styles.
Right.
It's primarily based off of the tiger and crane systems, but Hungar in itself, I mean, Hung Family Fist, the Hung Family is like Hung Wung Chai, or Hung, I think I can, don't get me lying. I know the name, I know I'm supposed to have this down packed and locked, but I can pull a book out and tell you directly who the founder and everything is. But more or less, they were the guards of the emperor and them at the time in the red light district. You know, the red light district back then was like party, like where the people gambled and kicked it and all that. These are the guys that stood there. And when you came and saluted and presented a certain hand movement, or jester lets you know, oh, they're good. They're part of this clan. So let them in. And if you didn't, well, then it's like, oh, you'll think your kung fu's better than mine. And then next thing you know, they got down. Yeah. And so that's how, not to get too far off subject with the Hungar concept, but just give me some backstory. The Red Ring of Death. I don't know if you ever heard of these old Battle to the Death Kumites. It's a 10-foot red circle, 10 by 10. Whatever happened in the circle stayed there. So if me, you, Tiger Clan, and I'm Leper Clan, and I fought and I killed you, no one couldn't seek revenge until a year later, and then I had to fight the person in that thing. So if I, so I can give you some, man, trust me, this is going to take longer than I was. Believe you me, man. But that's just kind of a little backstory on some of the stories I'm told as I'm training, learning as a kid, martial arts. Of course, Karate Kid was a famous thing at the time period. I truly, literally have a Karate Kid story I can tell you that I think I should share on my first tournament ever. And how, like, the whole, how in the movie when Mr. Miyagi came in and the guy's like, what belt are you? And they snuck the black belt and all that. Well, my uncle didn't do that per se, but we went to the Sukim International's tournament. It was an open tournament. I was 16. I was probably 5'11 and a half, 6 foot, probably every bit of 150 pounds, if that.
Now, the people that are listening and don't know what you look like, how tall are you?
I'm 6'4", I'm 245 pounds.
Okay.
And I actually done lost weight. You know that. You didn't see the power. I was like 305, had a 22 inch half neck. I'm down to like 17 and a half now. I'm 40. You got to get yourself in better shape. You can't be a martial arts instructor telling people, hey, it's the body temple, and then your body look like, you know, the Buddhist thing. Which, nothing against that. No disrespect to anybody that's Buddhist or however that thing goes. But teach his own, you know. I'm just saying, practice what you preach. You know what I'm saying? You tell people don't smoke, but then you walk around the corner and smoke a pack a day. It's like, if you're going to be a hypocrite, someone's going to call you on it. That's all I'm saying with that. But anyway, so the Karate Kid story. Go to the Su Kim tournament. A lot of my friends in high school were all Taekwondo practitioners. And so, you know, I was taught Kung Fu secretly. So secretly to the point that where my uncle was like, I couldn't even tell my friends. Like, literally, like all the time in the neighborhood when you had those neighborhood guys to get together, had those little backyard kumites where everybody wrestling and who's the tougher kid on the block. I used to always just stand there, and I grew up in a majority white neighborhood. All my friends were like, he's black, he got to be able to fight. And it was like, I ain't really like that. I can, but I can't. And they never got that. It was just like, what do you mean you can't, but you can't? What do you know? And I'm like, I don't know, because I didn't know what it was called. My uncle didn't tell me what it was called. I had to do stances all the time. Of course, you know me personally, but the people who's listening, I talk a lot.
Yeah.
So I lived with my uncle for a while, you know what I'm saying, in my teenage years, which I'll get back to that because it's back to the Karate Kid story thing. But I, what was I saying? I lived with him for a while. We had the backyard kumites with my friends. They're all mainly Taekwondo and Karate practitioners. They'll want to spar and all that. And I'm like, I can't, man. Well, you don't know nothing. That kung fu crap only works in the movies. I know some form of kung fu. I'm not 100% sure what it is. So at the age of 15, 16, I begged my uncle because all my friends competed all the time. He said, you want to compete? Fine. We'll go to this tournament. That's back to the Su Kim tournament. Went there, man. I seen a bunch of people do a bunch of stuff and I got nervous. I literally was like, oh, wow. Now, I sparred adults in my uncle's classes, guys that were black belt in judo, guys that were black belt in Hapkido, Aikido and stuff. And I could handle my business. But the thing was, at the back of my mind, is like, these are friends. So you don't spar your friend to hurt them. But when I was watching those people in them other tournaments, I come into a tournament with no badges, no name of a school or nothing. So they're like, who is this dude? Some guy that learned Kung Fu in the garage? Literally, I did. In a backyard. So my uncle had ranking and people knew who he was, but he was underground with it. It was like, oh, you know, the whole quiet is kept, just secret society. You know, you're not supposed to brag about what you know. Mm-hmm. And back to what I'm getting at with this story, I'll go back to the Karate Kid story. I could never talk about it because what I didn't get at the time was when you tell someone you know how to fight or you know martial arts, they like, show me something. Right. Then if you do a move, they like, man, that ain't going to do nothing to nobody. And then when you show them and knock them on their back, then they like, oh, wow, this does work. Then you got either an enemy or a friend, depending on what time period you grew up in. I'm a 70s baby, so with me fighting, most of the time you fought your friends, and that's how you became friends, because you knew at the mall, well, that guy could punch really good, he could kick really good, that guy could wrestle. Let's be pals. You know, anybody mess with us, we stick together.
We're covered.
Exactly, exactly. We got all the bases covered. And this dude really good with a stick. I don't know what, but he good with a stick. So, the Karate Kid story. We show up at the tournament, Sue Kim's tournament, and they say, what level is he? And at this time, now, I started when I was four. I'm 16. I'm well in the black belt category. But we have sashes. Sashes is way different. Now, I'm not, don't quote me on this, but I want to say our white sash, which takes you 4 to 5 years to get, is borderline equivalent to like a low-level black belt. Mm-hmm. Like if you just getting in the rankings, like you just honorary black belts. You ain't even actually earned it. You got to take a test to get it, but let's go compete and see where you go from there, you know, if you earn the respect of that. So I was kind of like a white sash, highest level of white sash you can get at the time. So, and it's only like four sashes in our system, and the one of the systems that I study. Okay, so we get there, and I said, oh, he said, I think you should fight in the brown belts. I'm like, I don't want to. I spar my friends as blue belts and annihilate them. And it's like, if I fight brown belts, I want to fight black belts. I want to spar against the best to see if I really, these moves that you taught me really work. He said, okay. And you know how my uncle is. You know the people that don't know this listen. He just said, okay, fine. That's what he did. He laughed at everything. He just like, so we get in the tournament. Okay, put me in the black belt category. Now, you got weight. Age and all the intermediate, beginner, and all that type of stuff. He put me in advance. I couldn't fight nobody at my weight class because wasn't nobody in my weight class. So every person I had to fight was 200 pounds or plus. I was like probably 150 at the time.
Yeah.
But I'm tall. I look bigger. But I'm, you know, I'm just a skinny, tall kid. That's pretty much what it was. I get in there. I won the tournament that I was at. I lost a few rounds because at first, the whole point system thing, it was like full contact when I did it, but you couldn't do excessive force. Like, you couldn't choke somebody out. You couldn't dislocate an arm, but people was getting knocked out. And I seen orange belts get broken up worse than anything. Like, younger guys, because they was like this, trying to prove. I don't know what it was, right. But it was like I seen a lot of teeth flying and blood and, hey, what are they doing? And that would kind of spook me because I'm like, we don't spar like that, and when we spar kung fu, we don't wear pads and stuff because you're supposed to show control. Mm-hmm. Now, it ain't that you don't get a black lip or a twisted finger from time to time, but you're not trying to kill your classmate. I'm in this tournament. First round, give this guy, I think it's like 2-3 minute rounds or something like that. I'm winded, man, because this guy is going in on me with kicks and punches, and me, instead of fighting like I normally do in a kung fu sparring match, I'm trying to fight like the Taekwondo practitioner. I can kick. I can hold a solid fighting stance. But the guys are eating me up because he's switching his feet. And I'm looking at him. And I'm like, man, my uncle sat in the bleachers. He didn't even come down and coach me. He sat in the bleachers. It's like, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And so he's sitting up there. I'm on the thing. And the guy light me up one round. Light me up second round. Third round. Well, it was kind of back and forth. The third round, I think I best the guy by a point or something, so I got to go to the next round. This goes on for a couple of matches, and then when it got to, I made the finals, like hypothetically some crazy way, I start watching what they were doing. They kept covering themselves. I'm like, oh, I'll see what these dudes is doing. You got to hit this certain area, and if I kick them in the head, it's a done deal. I knew how to kick. You know, that was my thing, so I'm like, I got longer legs than most of these dudes. Fine. I get in the ring. It's a guy that's 245 pounds. I never forget this. My uncle, you could call him right now. He could vouch this story. Dude was solid, man. Probably like 5'8". Just looked like he just came right out the gym. Like I'm going to kill everybody in the ring. Go to first round. He threw a couple nice punches on me. He knocked the wind on me one time. Fell down on one knee. My uncle was in the bleachers. I seen him coming down, coming closer to where I was. Me and him go back and forth. He's like, he came over to me when I was bent down. I got the wind knocked out. Me and the other guy got to turn around and all that. He said, why are you fighting their fight? You've been fighting their fight all day. Why don't you fight like I taught you? And it's something like a light bulb came on like, oh, use the crawl. Use one of your kung fu techniques with continuous hand and feet movement. They're going to not have no flipping idea what you're doing. I said, okay, sir. So he steps off. And in my mind, it's kind of like your guardian angel. He's just like, get up, do what I taught you to do. Quit fighting like you're trying to fight like your friends and stuff. Nothing against what they do, but it's like, you know, you got to fight your fight. You can't fight another person's fight. I said, cool. So the guy got in a solid fight stance, I dropped down to a cat stance and put my hands out like how we doing kung fu. The dude looked at me like, what is this dude doing? And right then and there, I knew, I got you. Mm-hmm. You already worried about what I'm doing when you need to be fighting like you was fighting. And he tried to hands up to do a front snap kick. I did a step side kick, kicked him out the ring. He rolled over, knocked two corner judges over, hit another guy, and the guy in the middle was like, let's test some force. No point. I BS you not. Master Su Kim came right to the ring because the crowd was like, boo, like, no way, that was awesome kick, man. Came over, pulled my head up, hoink, Parker! And, dude, they went bananas, dude. I'm telling like, I'm just like, Unc looked at me. He's just like, you see, fight like you're supposed to fight. The guy came over. He was red-faced because he was knocked the wind out of him. He said, hey, man, that was a, I ain't going to say the word, but a kick. You know, that's a heck of a kick. Yeah. And I was just like, thank you. You know, bow to him and stuff. Learning more of the etiquette of tournament fighting and stuff like that. So I lead that tournament, and I think I won in my category. I didn't get grand champion, but I did, you know, forms and that. And I end up getting first in one category, second in another. I think I got first in fighting, second in forms or something like that. And we left. And all everybody bowed to is my Sue Kim, and you guys come back next year. I'm the first person ever in my uncle's school to ever compete. So that's part of the little Karate Kid story.
That's pretty cool.
Next year, we come back. Unc had his full gi and everything on. About four other the guys that was with us wanted to participate too because they like, eh, did it. They walked up to him, Master Su Kim, a couple other guys said, Master Parker, are you competing this year? He said, no. They was like, thank God. Because it was like, if your student did that, we know what you're going to do. So that's kind of like one of the, like I said, I begged and begged and begged to get in. He finally let me in. I got hurt a couple times. I got almost knocked out a few times and have fun. Got to travel a lot of places, you know what I'm saying, do a couple U.S. Opens and stuff like that. When K-1 started converting, we tried to get into some of that, a couple tough man competitions. And then it got to a point where it's like, okay, this ain't really fun anymore. You know what I mean? Because it's like the next level is you got to go straight full contact, you know what I'm saying, get sponsors, all that other stuff. Yep. Tournaments was crazy expensive in the 80s, dude. I mean, literally, wasn't that you get in a tournament and you get a trophy for participating? You either had to go all or go home. I mean, seriously, like you paid $200-some to compete and wasn't no guarantee you was going to get anything. Wow. If you didn't know somebody, a lot of those tournaments, you couldn't just go there just because it was an open. Just because it said open, it's like, okay, it's open, but were you qualified? Are you with the IKA? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you weren't affiliated with some type of alliance, you would just go there and you'd be like, well, you can watch, but that was it. And, like, I remember we went to Chicago a couple times, and we got invited to some tournaments, and we got up there, and it was like, well, it's really a karate tournament only, you know? And it was an ISKA or something like that, and I was just like, we ain't a karate school, but we got affiliates that are karate people. You can make some phone calls, and it ain't one like cell phones where you can just be like, hey, dog, tell these people who we is so we can get in this tournament. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of that came with because it was a lot of stupid street fighters back in the days that would go to tournaments and, what ranking are you? Oh, I'm just a street fighter. And then they just want to try to prove something and get busted up and then somebody want to sue somebody. So I understand how that stuff came about. I tell you, I've been to a lot of tournaments where they were biased as well because I was a primarily kung fu practitioner. You get there and you do a form and it's like everybody named mama cheering and hooting and hollering and you get low scores. It's like, do the judges know what they just seen? And you can't be disrespectful because I didn't know until I started doing these more and more that those guys are all high ranking officials for the most part. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you can't be like, for real, dude? Like, I just did like a backflip and ran off the wall. And then you saying I got a 4? You know what I'm saying? Hypothetically. Yeah. So, and if it wasn't a system that they were familiar with, sometimes you just got, railroaded. So it is what it is. I think that the importance of, with this all being said, the importance of competition is to test your skills, but you have to have a master that keep your students grounded with the mindset that there's no such thing to win or lose. You win or learn. And you got to tell them that because you're not going to win all the time. It's always going to be a guy that's been in the gym 2 hours longer than you have.
Yep.
Maybe a minute longer than you or 30 seconds. And that's going to show. And you just not, it's not going to be your day. And so take it with stride and say, hey, I learned from this. And then the next time I know what not to do or what to do. So that way this won't happen again. And if it happens every single time, I've went to 6-7 tournaments, only pulled second place. it don't make a difference, man. A trophy is just an accomplishment to say, hey, I did something and I performed it. The people thought this is how good I did that time.
Yep.
But, you know, you can't let that get to you. It does. It hurts. No one wants to lose. No one. You play video games. Oh, dang, I lost. Well, whatever. Play harder next time. You know, you're not going to always win. And I'm teaching my little one, my seven-year-old, she's going to be in her first forms competition. And she's been going hardcore like all this summer, man, just in it. Dad, when am I going to get a sword? You're not ready for a sword. She see me in the backyard doing something. She's like, when am I getting a sword? Like, you're not getting a sword. You just happen to see daddy do this. You're not. But I don't know. Did I help, man, with the, with the story?
Like, I love it.
Like, yeah, stop it. That's 4 to 5 minutes of babbling.
No. I love it. I love it. So one of the things that I was really curious about was when you were younger and you were training with your uncle. We've talked a little bit before, not on a microphone, about it, but I would just love to kind of hear some of the experiences that you've had with him.
Okay. So, see, once again, these people don't know who this guy is we're talking about. Sifu Dexter Parker is an amazing human being. One of the closest father figures I had. My biological father, of course, me and my mother, we was together. They was together for the first 7 years of my life. He moved on. She moved on. My dad was a Golden Glove boxing champion. So it's been fighters in my family since I was a kid. My uncle's Marines, other uncles, Army, granddad, military, World War veterans. So I already knew that the line of men that I had to follow suit to was warriors. Mm-hmm. So in my mindset, I'm the goofy, tall kid, like I said. Always got picked on for talking all the time because I like to have fun. And I was the type of guy where if you said something about me, I'm going to say something so mean to you and tear you down where you're going to want to fight me. So I guess that's why Sifu Parker's like, we got to teach this kid to defend himself because he's going to get his head tore off his body. And so, like I said, I started when I was 4 years old. I say forced because it was one of them things where my uncle was like that super cool uncle, like the Star Wars, Star Trek, model collecting. He was a bachelor for like a long time. So me and my cousins all went over there on the weekends. He worked at Caterpillar. So, you know what I'm saying? Dishes piled to the moon. So he's like, if you guys watch these dishes, we'll go to McDonald's and go watch a kung fu movie. I'm like, huh? Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
You know, right, exactly. Like, I don't care. But then he'd say, watch the dishes this way. And I'm like, why am I doing wax on, wax off? And I mean, literally, this was way before Karate Kid. It wasn't no Karate Kid. I was born in 74. I started when I was 4, so I was 78. Karate Kid didn't come out till the 80s, man. Right. So literally, I'm telling you, this dude was giving me old school training on everything I did. When we vacuumed, he said, go in straight lines. Why am I walking straight lines? He teach me how to do the footwork. But I didn't look at that stuff like that. I'm thinking like, this dude crazy. You know what I'm saying? Why he got me? Switch hands. Why don't you just do it? You coach me through. But you can't say that because that's my uncle. So one level of respect, uncle. Second level, that's my master. So it's like, he could beat me and tell my mom why he beat me. And this, I'm just beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, so cutting the grass. This dude would literally have me cut the grass 2 weeks before the notice to abate sign would get put out there in a horse stance with a push mower. Not electric or gas mower. You know, it's hard enough to cut 6 inches of grass. He got 2 feet. It's a jungle in the backyard. He like, horse stance. I'm killing myself in a horse stance. Friends riding Ryan on bikes. Hey, Eddie, can we help you? You could help me if you wanted to, dude. So, I mean, I joke about it and I complain about it when I was a kid, but I am so thankful that he did those things because all the time he was building my body, building my mind, building my spirit to become the martial artist that I am today. And it's like, I wouldn't have had those things because I had old school training. Like when I mean old school, I'm talking about if it was cold and I got taught in the garage a lot of times and then in the backyard. So if it was ice out there, you standing out there doing, what is it? That low stance you guys call y'all super low horse stance. Akima Dolce or what's it called? Kibadachi, yeah, I'm sorry about that, karate people. I'm sorry. Don't kill me, please. I'm a kung fu guy. I'm working on it. Trying to get my kung fu karate etiquette. Karate do etiquette.
There we go.
So we call it a lotus stance, a super low when you like pretty much boo-boo stands where you're sitting on an invisible stool. Ice, man, until the ice practically melted underneath your feet. That's when I train like that. Like, outside, you can't breathe because it's so cold. Switch to a bow and arrow stance. And he come out, whack the back of your legs with both stances. And I'm like, I want to cry. But then again, I don't want to give up because I don't want to be the weak one. You know what I'm saying? Out of the group, I ain't seen me cry. You know what I'm saying? Taking it in. And I couldn't stand it, man. Forms, when he started giving me formal training in the sense of he started with a lot of never taught me how to punch, never taught me how to kick. I didn't learn how to do those things until I was probably 10 years old. Like, for real, for real. It was stance work, and it was like push-ups, calisthenics. If I got in trouble, I had to do a horse stance for hours. I'm not joking. I'm not making it up. Hours. I'm in a corner. Can't put your back against the wall. Legs position. Getting the horse stance. And then my uncle, when I lived with him when I was in high school and stuff, he used to come home. Uncle's a Christian. I don't know if people know that. I don't know if I'm allowed to even say that. But he would read the Bible for 2 hours to de-escalate from working construction, jackhammering, loud noises all day. I'm like, hey, Uncle, how are you about? He like, stances. I'm in a corner, and he read the Bible to me. So in my mind, I'm meditating, thinking about the Bible stories and scriptures while I'm doing my stances. So I kind of like body-mind type of thing. I had times where I had to have quiet time to de-escalate, to kind of like calm my body and meditate, and I meditated with my Christian faith. That's the difference between most of us, that put your mind somewhere else. So when something was hurting or painful to me, I took it to my faith, and that's what kind of built me up and stuff. So body, mentally, and spiritually. Like I said, till I was about 10, then he kind of started getting things more on a formal concept of it's, I think, even more so what's important about that. And I try to teach that when I teach now too, is a guy that's learning how to fight don't need to know how to punch and kick. A guy needs to learn how to defend themselves. Your best offense is a defense. And if anybody tell you anything other than that, they're lying to you. Because if we're taught that this is supposed to keep the peace, peace means no violence. That's what peace mean. Peace don't mean go cut somebody's face. I'm like, told you not to mess with me, sucker. Peace mean I don't have no problems. I don't want no problems. Our hand gestures, bows, everything is all a sign of I'm cool. I don't want no problems. But if you have no other option or opportunity, no other choice, and people have a vague, I don't even know if that's the right term. They have a really messed up way of trying to turn it and say, well, man, it was two guys and I had it. No, you didn't. You could have been like, man, I'm cool. Mm-hmm. Redirect that energy, push them away. Dude, you don't want to do this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I had those problems too. When I was 16, man, if you said something stupid to me, I'd kick you in the face rather than talk to you. Because I got picked on and bullied on so much. It got to a point where I'm like, come on then, sucker. Come get some, you know? And so back to like you said, like I was saying, I was taught old school. Don't get in no trouble. Don't get in the fights. If you do, you have to deal with me. I knew what my uncle could do. He was a bodybuilder. You know, he's still a stocky guy now, almost 60 years old. Mm-hmm. Pretty burly guy. And even way bigger. He's like Black Hulk when we was kids, dude. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, I respected him enough to know that if I ever had to call him and say, hey, I got into altercation because these guys did this, he said, you need to pick and choose your friends better. So I literally got old school training in the sense of, like I said, stances. Start learning how to do forms. I hated that crap, man. He'd be like, go do your form. And I do it and think it did it perfectly. Like, do it again. I'm like, dude, if I got to do this again, I don't want to quit. For real, I literally, because you got to think, I'm a teenager. I want to party kick with my friends. Mm-hmm. But I had classes 5 days a week, buddy. Most people they barely get 2 or 3 classes for 2 hours. I did 5 days a week, at least minimum of 3 hours of class. And most of the time, it was calisthenics and conditioning. And so when I was ready to compete and start fighting and all that stuff, I had all that stuff down packed because it was like most people get in the gym, they you know how it is. You got a certain routine you stick to, and it's just like you're not really thinking of the mind game. You're doing the body thing. You got to meld all that together. So like I was saying, 10 years old, I really didn't learn how to punch and kick until then. Then when in my teenage years, started doing forms, hated it. Yes, I'm still saying it, but I love it and respect it because I understand that's the roots of it. And without forms or katas, you lose it. You lose the concept of the art, because martial arts, in the sense of it, is the martial is the combat. The art is the beautiful gracefulness and the ability to express yourself, as Bruce always say. And it's so like if I showed you how to do a punch and you showed another person, if you kept the integrity of how it was initially given, it'll continue to go on. But if you decide to throw your own thing to it, there's nothing wrong with that. But at least keep the hands balled up, fists and knuckles showing, because that's how it goes on. So did I help with that answer?
Yeah, I think you did. You know, when you're talking about the punches, I mean, you have your own unique twist. The seminar that I was at a couple weeks ago, we were doing a defense out of a wrist grab.
Yes,
and you were
sir.
Turning the hands up.
Yes,
and
sir.
You were getting the principal points of it, but you were saying, hands are up like a pizza. Like
yep,
you're delivering a pizza.
Yes, sir.
So you've got all the you know, all the ingredients of it, of what it is, the important things, and then, you know, you're adding your own unique twist.
And then my uncle, man, he used to get on me about that so much, because before he sanctioned me, to, in 2007 is when I became my own, I guess it's a founder of my own school.
Right.
So it was 2007. We went to a seminar. He seen his grandmaster, some things was said, and next, you know, he came back, and he's like, blah, 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 I got a surprise for you. I'm like, okay. Came over, like, 4th of July weekend. He had my certificate. He said, "You're a full instructor." And he gave me a certificate, which is a Sifu and Kung Fu, the highest level, as a Kung Fu combative arts. Now, I don't know if I broke it down, but my uncle taught me Jeet Kune Do concepts because he was a mega Bruce Lee fan because that's the area he grew up in.
Right.
He had a black belt in Judo and in Taekwondo, if I'm not mistaken. So I got that lineage. So I knew those tactics from those tournaments, but he knew combat stuff. Not really sports, because he really wasn't into that. He's just like, that ain't his cup of tea. And he didn't start training in Hungar Kung Fu until he was 20. I started probably when I was like, probably 12, maybe, in Hungar, I want to say. Then, all in all, he trained with a guy named Yami Shamsuddin, which is one of the masters that's under Grandmaster McKenzie, which is one of our higher guys in the Kung Tao Silat. He met him at Caterpillar. I guess somehow at a break they were talking about Bruce Lee, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, Bruce Lee's all right. And the guy was saying that. He was like, huh? My uncle, like, wait a minute. What do you mean he's all right? He's like, yeah, he's okay. He kind of showboated or something to that effect. And he's like, well, what do you mean? And then the guy broke down and did a form. And he's like, whoa, I ain't never seen nothing like this. And that's when he got introduced to Kung Tao. So he did that for, oh, my goodness, man. Don't get me to lie to you, man. Probably 5 or 6 years, I think he did it. But he, once again, he was hardcore into it. He wasn't like no regular Joe Schmo that do a couple classes. He did classes 5 days a week, minimum 3 hour classes for those years. Got really high in the ranking of it to the point where he could be an instructor. His people, they left and moved back to Cleveland. Some went to Cali, some went to New York, and he was sanctioned to be an instructor. At this time, once again, he's blending this Taekwondo, Judo, all this stuff with me and the Hungar stuff, blending it. The whole Hungar concept came from Master Buxom Kyle. He got certification from him. Excuse me, in the Wing Lun Federation, Master Wing Lun. So he got the certifications in that, and he started traditionally breaking it down and giving me, like, the forms from that stuff. So that way, you know, once you learn those things, you get to a certain level where, okay, I got this form, this form, this form, and you get certifications. So it can give you a ranking in a system. So when we go places, or if you say, hey, I know this, well, what's your lineage? You know what I mean? You have no idea. So it was kind of one of those things. So I could have a piece of paper to say, I know this, this is what I know. And then I could show you, and I could show you this to say, instead of just going somewhere, you know how that is. Now this guy, like, I'm an MMA. Who's your instructor? Oh, it's this guy at the gym. Oh, okay. You got black belt or something? I could punch it. I used to wrestle back in the days. All righty then. Cool. So
now when you're learning this stuff, do you, Senior Mr. Parker, Grandmaster Mr. Parker, does he tell you, like, what the differences are between the arts, or does he just kind of show you the moves?
Now, that's awesome that you asked that. When I was younger, no. Like, it was, like I said, totally a no-no. I really didn't even I kind of start figuring things out as I start to progress in the art. When I, like I said, at the age of 10, when I really finally start finding out what punches and kicks was, I noticed different hand gestures and movements. And so it's like, it all start with, like, I know that people can't see what we're doing, but like a mid-range block, a simple high blocker or whatever, he said that every single thing, even in advance and beginning, it's the same. It's just the weapon that you use. It's the concept of, this is a block, but now this is a snake technique, because of the weapon that you put on the limb changes it. So I start seeing him do stuff like tiger techniques, where he have his hands a certain way, or he'll do like leopard or eagle. And I'm thinking, like, man, that look like some stuff I seen in Kung Fu Theater. But he never directly said that was or wasn't, but it'd be a technique where he'll go to the throat, go to the groin, and do a certain move. And I'm like, man, is that a crane technique? He's like, is it? I mean, like, straight up Yoda, Jedi. Dude, I'm telling you, man, he always kept everything a big secret. And then when I started researching, because they didn't have YouTube and Google and, oh, that looked like a tiger technique. And a million different forms of tiger techniques show up. You had to literally research. And they didn't have karate books and stuff like that. You had to read Black Belt Magazine or something to that source and look. It's like, that looked like that's what this was. And then I'll go back and ask him. He's like, oh, so you've been doing research. Good. And then he never really told me until I was, I'll say, 16, 17. When I was a teenager. Oh, you cool, man. Don't worry about it. I just, the thing was sweating. When I was a teenager, he started kind of breaking it down like this is a tiger form or this is a crane form or this is a leopard form. Then he started explaining to me this, this, and this. Then when I got to the higher level stuff, like in my 20s, he would start saying stuff like, well, this form is from this set and this form is from this set. So it kind of gave me a mindset of, oh, this is what this is. This is what these movements are. Mm-hmm. And then it made sense to me because, you know, now, like I said, I teach a guy something and they'll go and go, oh, it's a crane technique. And they go online and you can see 5 million different crane techniques. It's like, okay, that kind of defeats the purpose of what we was trying to show you. But you know how it is. I call them YouTube black belts. That's just my thing, man. It's, everybody want to go on YouTube. Like, what can I learn? Like, yeah. You go take a lesson for 2 weeks and now they come back to you like, I'm the master now. Like, oh, you are? Okay, cool. All right. Everybody leave the room. Let's spar. Let's get this over with. And then, see, I don't do that to my students. I'm just kidding. Like, I'm never going to my class. I ain't messing with that guy. But he didn't start explaining things to me until things progressed. And it was a point where I saw my cousins and other people get certain things. And I used to wonder, why haven't he shown me something like that or that? Because he used to break certain segments down and give, okay, you got tiger techniques and you'll see all tigers. Then my other guy, he got leopard stuff. And then they'll make a spar using those particular animals and stuff. And just to see how well you go, then he'd be like, okay, you do this and he do that. And I'm like, I never really did this other one. But you just try to mimic what you saw or try to feel what you, you know, can pull out of it. And then, like a thing we got called the cross, continuous hand, feet, and body movement. You probably heard of in Wing Chun, sticky hands. Mm-hmm. We have a thing with the crawl, sticky body, sticky mind, and sticky hands as well, sticky legs. It's sick, fam. You seen me do some of it before. I think we may have, you know, went back and forth, did a couple things. I did some of it at the seminar, but not so much as in directly consistent movement, because a lot of that was more of set routines that you can kind of like take, you know, take from and add to it because that's what it was intended. With the crawl, is no set rules for it, but it's like the three circles that I was explaining. Mm-hmm. That is part of it where it's like you take the three circles now, elaborate on it, because not only do my hands move in circles, my body move in a circle, my leg move in circles. And when you start figuring out that you can manipulate the crap out of joints and tendons and stuff by moving a certain way, grabbing something, pulling it in, turn it, and then it's like you got weapons there already to defend yourself. It was initially, if I'm not mistaken, intended to fight 1,000 men. That was the whole concept where you could take on 1,000. And stories we heard about our Grandmaster Lushan, I think if I'm not mistaken, William Reeder, where he had 50-pound size, and they sent some guards to tell him stop teaching, and he killed out of 100, he killed 99 of them, and told the one guy go back and tell him I teach who I want to teach. I hope I got that story right because I don't want to disgrace our.
If not, it sounds pretty cool.
Right. Dude, did he say 100 people and he killed all of them? 50-pound size. I'm like, dude, those is practice size. If anything, what 50-pound weight is like? What?
He just, yeah,
die. So. You know how they are. And the next time you hear a story, I'll probably say they're 100-pound size. So, you know.
Well, sure. It's probably been exaggerated. You know,
definitely. But, yeah, man. So, like I said, with that, the martial arts to me is a way of life, man. And I whoever listened to this, I hope that they take that from that, that people say, oh, kindness is an emotion or it's an act. No, it's a way of life, man. It's the saying of Buddha says, the stronger you are, the gentler you should become. What that means is, if people don't get that in a nutshell, if you're a muscle-bound guy that's 300 pounds, you got to cook, and you got eggs, if you're so strong that you can't hold the eggs softly, you're going to break them off, you're going to starve. So that's just a way to kind of say, man, once you get a certain mindset, as they say, you know better, you do better. And it's just as simple as that. Martial arts give you a better sense of living, a better sense of understanding human beings. We're all connected if we want to admit it or not. You know, at the end of the day, we all are one species, one people. We breathe air, bleed blood. And once you learn martial arts, the only thing martial arts does is give you a confidence to say, if I really had to get into altercation, I could defend myself by all means necessary. And then it should get to a point where it's like, I don't even need to. Because I'm going to talk to you and let you know that you really don't want to, you know, go barking up this tree because you might get pooped on. You know what I'm saying?
So, that's right. Well, karate has a saying like that, too. They say that there's no first strike in karate. And there's a lot of interpretation on that of how people want to take that. But, yeah, I can see that definitely being a saying here.
That, I mean, it's so many of them. I can give you 100 of them. You know what I'm saying? The whole, my favorite thing is the thing that Bruce say is the art of fighting without fighting. You be like, wait a minute. How the heck can I fight without fighting? Simply, am I going to outsmart you? Because a verbal conversation is a fight in some people's mind. It don't even got to go to a physical conversation. A quote that always stuck with me that my father taught me, he said, if you can beat a man with words, you can beat him with anything. And I like, huh? And you know I talk. You know, I mean, personally, I'm a professional comedian. I get paid to talk to people. You know what I'm saying? Motivator, motivational speaker, all of that. I can go into a room with Klansmen and be like, hey, man, how y'all doing? That boy is funny right there. He is funny. I mean, you know, just because it's the energies that we put out. That's just how it is. If you put out good vibes, they're going to come back. If you're a Christian, it says you reap what you sow. If you believe in karma, it's like a circle situation again. Whatever you put out is going to come back. And these are going to come back good or it's going to come back bad. And I mean, you know, I mean, and like with the martial arts, like I said, people have a misconception. I didn't get it when I was being taught it as a kid. I had no idea what my uncle was teaching me. Not at all. And now that I see when I teach my students, you know, like Richard and all those other guys, Jacobs and those guys, they send me texts like, man, Sifu, I had an altercation today and the guy was blah, blah, blah. And I just is like, hey, I'm walking away. And they tell me they self, dude, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have did that. I'd have beat the crap out of that guy or attempted to. And it's like, from the things you showed me and told me, it's like, there's no reason to. Why? I mean, because it's the Hatfield McCormick's all over again. If I shoot you because you shot my pig, then someone else going to shoot you because they love me. Regardless if I was bad, wrong, or evil, someone still cares for me. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to keep going until what? We all gone? So everybody's just going to keep killing? So there ain't no purpose behind it. I'll tell you honestly, 30-some years ago, I wouldn't be having the same conversation with you to ask me, what's martial arts? To kick somebody in their face? Yeah, take that to the face, you know what I'm saying? Say something stupid to me. I dare you. I used to say I live by the hope and the wish factor. You know what that is? I hope everything goes well, but I wish I would. But you got to change, man. I have children now, you know what I'm saying? That's a major factor in. Once you have kids, your life isn't about you anymore. It's about them. So I got 3 beautiful daughters, 2 sons. I teach them. All of them, well, to a certain point, because some of them kind of get a little antsy and cocky, whatever, gone, you know. And then my baby girl, 7-year-old, the little dragon, y'all be seeing her soon. She, oh my goodness, dude, she is going to be a monster. She came out the womb chop kicking. I think she chopped her on the umbilical cord. The doctor slapped her and she caught his hand like, nah, don't even do it. Don't do it. Like they do in couple theater. No. You don't touch my buttock.
So tell me a little bit about your school. So 2007, you got certified as a full instructor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How's that going?
I started at the Dream Center, which was, it was great. It helped. I was teaching out of the same building my uncle, but it always became a conflict of interest because if your head instructor is there, and I taught under him for a while, so like he could see that I could do it. I taught some of his beginner people, some of his intermediate people, some of his advanced people. Then eventually got to the point where he was just like, like I said, I told you we went to go see his grandmaster, which he hadn't seen in like 30 years. And one of his students went online, was researching Kung Tao, somehow found him. And was like, this is the guy Sifu was telling us about. And he linked up with him. We went to a seminar. Excuse me, some words was exchanged. I came back, and next thing you know, I'm an instructor. I'm like, huh? So, which, I mean, I kind of knew it was going to happen. And it's been times in my life where it was times where I didn't consistently train for years because I was married, went through a divorce, you know, my mother passed. I mean, it was a lot of things that kind of deterred me from the art. But thank God, all in all, I came back to it because the seeds that were planted, you know what I mean? The foundation that I was given to say, man, I can't give up on this. This is something I love. And friends of mine come in, I'm finna start competing, and I'm like, oh, cool. And they're like, can we spar? Can you show me some stuff to get me ready? I'm like, sure. I was doing security at the Embassy Suites over in East Peoria, and a lot of my friends came over, third shift police officers and stuff. I ain't gonna say no names and embarrass nobody, but guys came over, and they were like, man, hey, we heard you was pretty good at martial arts. Like, yeah. So one thing led to another. I started showing him some techniques. He's like, man, you need to do this more consistently. So I went to my uncle and said, hey, man, I've been showing some of my friends that's in, you know, police officers. You know, I've been doing security for years. Some stuff. He said, okay, cool. Well, we need to do something about that. And I didn't get what he was talking about, but he was finna say he wanted me to branch off because he know the way I teach is different. And like I said, years and years he got on me about being goofy and not so, you know how Masters is, old school, just like firm, quiet, don't talk unless someone asks you a question that's directly incorporated of what we talking about or doing. And I felt like if you're an adult and you coming to learn discipline from me, there's a problem. Because at that point, if you don't have discipline, then whatever I give you, you're not going to respect because you don't have discipline to begin with. Now, if you coming to have different a different level of confidence, that's different. Or to mentally prepare yourself to be a better person, that's different. But that's not technically discipline. You know, discipline is you should know right from wrong when you were younger. So if you come to me and you say, hey, man, can you show me some things to make me feel better about myself and being in shape? And sure, it's going to take a while, but I got some things I can show you. Because the problem is people want instant gratification. Everybody, microwave society. Oh, put the microwave in the popcorn. 30 seconds later, it's ready.
Yep.
That's not how it works, man. This is something I have to do the rest of my life. And the times when I don't, like the days I'm like, man, I don't even feel like going to teach today, but these people have paid me money to teach them. And it ain't even about the money concept. It's the fact that you are obligated to do something that you swore that you was going to do. And if you don't, then that means you ain't no better than the next Joe out here that's trying to, you know, swindle somebody or take advantage of stuff. So we had those situations in martial arts schools. I taught, like I said, I taught at the Dream Center for about 3 years. People started coming in looking at my class and my uncle's class. Well, what's the difference in what you guys doing? Well, it's not a big difference. It's just the approach. I go off of a module system. He goes off of traditional forms, breaking all that other stuff, teaching all the different katas and all that stuff. I do too, but my students don't get their first form until a year. I know you're like, huh? And I explain to you why. We talked about this before because we went to some competitions. It's like, well, how many of your people compete in forms? It's like, nah, they just want to fight. You know, we'll get to that later. My thing is this. If I teach you the movements that you're going to learn in a form before you do it, then when it's time for you to do it, it should mesh together.
Yeah.
I got proof that it works. That it ain't that, because I didn't like doing forms. That's my uncle used to make me do that stuff to the point where I could literally float off the ground doing movements. And you didn't see me, you know, flowing and stuff. I started little and then I grew into my body and then I had to change everything because doing a sweep at 4 foot is way different than being 6 foot because the way your body move and maneuver and position everything. So the guys that I teach them all these movements, you know, set movements. Then they get to the form and like, okay, take movement 6, 7, and 8 and then put that together. And they be like, huh? And like, yeah, you never thought about putting that together like that. But I already knew that I was going to do this to you. And they just like, oh, Sifu, man. I'll be like, yeah, come on, go. Now put 3 and 12 together. What? And they just like, oh my goodness. Like, they couldn't believe that they knew this, but you knew it. But if I told you that from day one when you was doing a raising arm stretch or turning, that's a move in your form later on, you wouldn't have believed me. Like, how's this going to defend me or block? And then when I show them, they like, oh my goodness, man. And it blow their mind. Ladies come and do self-defense seminars, and I teach them this thing I call a move called get off me. So it's 3 elbows. 1, come up, get off, and then me back like that. And it's in our form where you come around like this. All the movements is in there with an arm chamber. But if I told them that that's what they were doing, they're like, what is this? Have a guy run up on you. Pow! I'm going to run to the elbow. Guy come try to reach from behind. Pow! Guy from behind. Boom! Same thing. Like you said with the pizza box thing. Me having a silly sense of humor that I do, I try to take things and literally gravitate towards it in the sense of, well, imagine if you was holding a pizza box you was delivering. You got to have balance because if you're drunk, you're going to drop the hot pizza and then the people ain't going to pay you for what you try to deliver them. Same concept. Right. And so that's kind of how it goes. I just start taking it. And my uncle, I'm telling you, he rolled me about it. Yeah, be a little more serious, firm. I'm like, all right, huh? And it's times where I am straight to the point, like, boom, this is what you got to get. This is how it is. I'm not laughing or joking with you. I'm serious now. And they'd be like, see, for they'd be like, okay, wow, he is serious. And then at the end of class, I'll say something silly and just like, hey, I said that because I needed you to really focus and concentrate on what I was giving you at the time. Because if I didn't, then, like I said, it's just a joke. It's just a joke. But the people that know me, I'm a different instructor in the sense of I like to have personal relationships with the people because as I was taught, the Shaolin Temple is a brotherhood. It's a family. And once, like I said, I consider you family. Once we have a mutual understanding of what martial arts is and you truly get to the level where you're a master and you get that title, you got to understand that, man, whatever you do and give to these people is either going to get tampered and watered down or it's going to be given genuinely, consistently for the rest of your existence. Mm-hmm. And how we live on forever on this side is through the art, man. Whatever it is that you got and you give to somebody, you either want it to stay pure as it can, because if it don't, then that's how it's going to be given to everybody else. And like I said, yeah, I joke and play, but when it's time to get to the nitty gritty, hey, take the gloves off, let's get down. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it goes. So like I said, then I taught at Landmark because I do security out there. I taught there for a couple of years. And then I got a better deal at the other facility where I'm at now. So now I teach at 2240 Townline Road with Guardian Fitness, which is a CrossFit facility. So I have a few students that train there for CrossFit. And it was like, hey, man, they need you out here because they want a self-defense instructor. So I've been there since the beginning of this year. And it seems to be going well. My numbers kind of go, you know how it is with the art, man. It's I don't have contracts. I don't, look, you're going to come, you come. If you don't, then so be it. Someone else will fill that spot. Yeah. That's why I look at it. So, you know, I make an adequate amount, enough money to continue to do what I do and then take care and provide for my family as well. And if I could, my wife and everybody, I would teach for free. If people was willing to come and get it and I could give it to them and they generally will respectfully take it and give it back, I give it to them for free. But as the way of the world, anything that's easy to obtain is not worth keeping. So it's just like, you know what I'm saying? If you could just easily, oh, I got this and I didn't have to pay nothing for it, then you may not value it. So, yeah, you know, that's how that goes. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it intentionally was ever meant to be given to people and sold to people, but that's America for you. So I'm happy I'm here. I don't got no problems with America. America. I'm Ed Parker. I believe in America.
This is a microphone that's been bugged by the NSA.
So. Yeah, I already know that. We're going to be in the holler at you, Mr. Parker. All righty. Yeah. Yep. That's so good. Yeah, man. I mean, did that help, man?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I'm trying to think of what else I want to ask you about. I guess maybe I should ask him this and not you, but
my instructor.
Yeah. What I'm trying to get at is he approached it with a very old school approach.
Oh yeah.
And dude. I know you a little bit. I've seen your seminars and mm-hmm. they're not old school. So how do you feel that old school fits into
what I do?
Like modern times.
Well, this is the thing with that. I'm glad you asked that question. The reason why I didn't go hardcore old school in the seminar is because you lose people. And I say that not to shun on old school or traditional, because you need that, like I was saying earlier with the forms and all that stuff. But for instance, if I go to a seminar and nobody there knows martial arts, they all, hey, I want to learn some stuff so I can defend myself because I work in this factory. We got to park our cars in the parking lot. What can you show me to go? So think about it like from this sense. If I'm only going to see you one time for 2 hours, what can I give you that's going to stick with you and make you remember, if all else fails, do this move? You may not be the next MMA fighter. You may not be the next Mike Tyson or whatever the case is, great fighter of the world. But this is going to deter someone from doing you some bodily harm. Mm-hmm. Traditional martial arts not going to work there. And the only reason why I say that is because traditional stuff was rooted from not only body, mind, and spirit, but every single thing about traditional is a way to preserve the art. Well, I mean, the only way I can explain it is if I'm going to teach you how to do a punch, if a woman going to punch a man, first of all, where is she going to hit him at? You know what I'm saying? And how she going to hit him? And what if she forget to ball her fists up and put her thumb in her hand? Because women do those stupid things. I ain't saying all women. I'm just saying people that just learn it or that don't know.
Well, even guys.
Well, I was taught to fight like this. Well, you better break your thumbs. Yeah. Okay. I mean, just in general, like I said. So I ain't trying to knock on women. But in general, when you teach somebody how to punch or whatever, you want to punch hard. You want to punch fast. Look how hard I can punch. How fast I can punch. Well, you know, in some systems and some of the moves and techniques we do, you punch it hard as fast you won't. Because when it get to me, if it gets to me, you setting yourself up to get in a lot of trouble, because that's how we learn how to move as the art progresses. traditionally teaching someone how to punch or whatever, that's one thing. But if I teach you a defensive posture or a technique that's blocking and striking at the same time, it's going to help you more so than me teach you directly how to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. Because if they don't work on timing and work on footwork and work on angles, what's the purpose of that punch? It's not going to work anyway. And that's traditional. Traditional is punches with forms and techniques, you know, hand gestures that one, two, three combos and all that. That's not going to help you in a self-defense situation. Now, maybe in a form, if you was doing a form competition, having a beautiful one, two, three, all that traditional stuff, that's the art form of it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I look at it. Everybody don't want the art. They want the martial. Mm-hmm. That's the way I can put it. Because I teach traditional in my regular classes because it's people that's teaching traditional creates martial artists. That's the way I could put it. Because someone asked me this the other day, if you want to be a martial artist, which is a person that's going to continue to do the art consistently for the rest of their days, that's what traditional is good for. Nowadays, people want to day in the MMA craze. A guy know how to box a little bit, know how to wrestle a little bit. So how can I put this and this together so I can defend myself if need be? That's what that is. Self-defense technique is it comes from traditional art because that's where all the stuff came from. But you're not going to teach them a sequence of movements that's going to consistently go to the next thing, go to the next thing, go to the next thing. I'm just teaching you a 1-2 and I get the heck out of Dodge. That I'm hoping and praying that that's what you can do and get away. But if not, then you better scream fire. You know what I'm saying? So because that's how it's set up. That's the difference between traditional and then like now I try to teach from a mindset of I show a traditional move. And if you know martial arts, you're like, okay, I like that pizza box thing.
Yep.
That's from one of our forms. But I got ways of showing people how to do that where if you never fought ever in your life and you did a pizza box move and you're like, how is this going to help me? Well, here, let me show you. And I broke it down like, go this. And if someone come this way, this is going to come up block this way. Then it'll make sense in a self-defense scenario more so than in a form where my student, like I told you, I showed them those moves for years and then they do it in a sequence. It's like, oh, I never thought to use this like this. Like, you've been doing this forever. I try to kick you in the groins. You do a down palm block. That's the pizza box, but it's shifting down this way. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just now you're learning it from a practical standpoint of put these moves together in a sequence without me having to tell you to do it. Because if I swung a bow staff at you, you know you ain't going to just throw your hands up nonchalantly. You're going to be, you're going to have your feet, body stand, everything to try to stop that, even if you can stop it then. Someone that is not a martial artist is not going to pick up on that. But someone that's learning the self-defense technique, they're going to look at it as, oh, wow, that's really neat. Like the whole circle thing with the wrist locks and all that stuff. It's all there, man. Everybody got it in their form, in their martial arts. Some way, shape, or form is just the way you approach it and the way they, you know, finish the move off when you do it. And like I said, traditionally, I'm thankful that I was taught traditional because traditional martial arts teach you foundation. It teach you, you know, the integrity. It teach you, it gives you confidence because it's like, wow, I know all these moves and I can put these moves together. And then once you figure out what it's for and what it's made to do, it makes you a better person overall. But learning self-defense stuff, I mean, like I say, people that are, you're not a martial artist if you just went to a self-defense seminar for 2 hours and got a certificate. I did 2 hours of this.
Yep.
And then what are you going to do from there? Because if you don't ever practice those moves, you even said it in the article you wrote. You was like, I'd have been to many of seminars and some stuff I see, I'm like, oh, I like this. I could take it. Some be like, you're not going to become a hump guard practitioner anytime soon, but you know some of the moves from it. Mm-hmm. And then you could blend it with what you got and it'll work. And it's the truth because no matter how you punch or how you kick, it's all about how you put in the sequence to defend yourself. And that's just how it goes. I mean, like I said, the traditional stuff, the concept of the traditional stuff is, I think, is to keep the lineage and keep the integrity and keep the concept of that form alive, that art form alive, because doing forms and all that stuff, that's what that does. Because if you stop doing it, then what is going to be? Then it's my own individual concept of I know how to punch and how to kick, do it this way. Well, what is it called? No matter the difference what it's called, just do it this way. And then you lose what it is that you was, you know, that the ancestors, how has this art lasted so long? All any of the arts, because they kept their traditional. Mm-hmm. And like I heard Joe Rogan, bad mouthless, oh, ain't no room in the UFC for Wing Chun or some other stuff and all this other stuff. And I'm like, dude, how could you be a practitioner of the arts and say something stupid like that? Where, like, for real, you saying that, dude, if it wasn't the punches and kicks that those guys do in the ring, all come from traditional martial arts. It ain't like some guy that was in a room by himself is like, I'm gonna punch and kick a guy like this. The crap out of here, man. I know Joe, too. He know I know. I know. I can't wait to see him again. I seen he did some shows with Doug Stanhope. They used to do comedy and stuff together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I got to open for Doug Stanhope and Mitch Hedberg's widow. I got to do comedy with, you know, I've been doing a comedy thing before. I met some of everybody in the game. And I was like, when I heard him say that, like, man, I can't wait till I see dude. And then somebody else ended up checking him. Some other guy that's a Wing Chun dude ended up was like, man, for real, Joe? Like, well, I didn't mean it this way. That's how I came off. I think he like a brown belt or almost a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, he's been doing jiu-jitsu
for a minute, dude. Yeah. Joe kind of ripped now, so yeah. I'm going to have to put something on him next time I meet Joe. You hear me? I'm just kidding. Joe Rogan, I love him, man. You need people have their own opinions about certain things. I try not to get in those debates. Every time we have UFC fight nights and a bunch of my guys get together, you know, like I said, I'm real versed in like six different forms of martial arts. I got judo background, taekwondo, hungar kung fu, kung ta si la, Filipino stick fighting with Arnaz Kali, Tai Chi Kwan. I mean, that's because my uncle was always open-minded to say, there's no ultimate style. Some guys say, well, I even got some Troy LaFoot training. Hmm. It was impressive. Ain't like my cup of tea, but it's got similar moves and some of the stuff we do with the hand moves. And they got some sick stuff in it. And they got the animals in their system, too. But I done got blessed to learn a lot of stuff from a lot of people, you know, so even from your master and stuff, you know what I'm saying? I learned some things. Master Artis is the truth, man. You hear me giving a shout out, Master? Hey, yeah. So, and Master Preston Jackson, too. He, man, I got to learn from all those guys. It's a lot of pool. Even you. And you, I mean, dude, look, just because I ain't formally took a class from you don't mean I haven't learned from you, you know what I'm saying? The guy, I was taught this a long time ago, to teach is to learn twice. And if someone's showing you something, even if me and you in a seminar and we exchange it back and forth, I'm learning from you. That's just how it is. Once again, that goes back to the mindset of a traditional martial artist and nowadays when everybody is MMA. So
yeah,
we'll argue about that all day. I mean,
that's volume two with Ed Parker.
There you go. Yeah, part two, baby. Hold out a player. So since I am a comedian, I should tell a joke, shouldn't I? Shouldn't I kind of
sure.
You know, break it down for. I can't even think of nothing, man, because I got.
You can't think of a joke. I don't believe it.
Right, that's crazy. I'm trying to think of. I told a little kid a joke earlier today, and my daughter was like laughing. I was like, "Did I cuss?" I'm trying to make sure I didn't say no cuss word because the parents laugh. And oh man, I can't even think of nothing, man. I got one. So I was a substitute teacher, believe it or not. A brother has his education, man. So. So I told the kids, instead of traditionally with a spelling bee, instead of you spelling the word, I want you to use it in a sentence so I know you can use it correctly. So the first kid was like, what's the word, Mr. Parker? I said, dictate. No, take that back. Not dictate. Definitely. So the first kid said, the sky is definitely blue. I said, nah, that's not quite the case. So sometimes it rains, it turns gray, but nice try nonetheless. Nice. Next kid said, the grass is definitely green. I said, nah, that's not the case either, because sometimes the sun come out burning, it turns brown. But nice try. Little kid in the back don't talk, say much to anybody. He raises his hand, Mr. Parker, I think I got it. I said, what's that? He said, when you pass gas, there's supposed to be anything in your pants? I said, no. He said, well, I have definitely crapped myself.
Oh my God.
All right. Yeah, you got an A for the day. So, yeah.
All right.
Eddie P, the Kung Fu Comic, huh?
That's good. Well, I appreciate you being on.
Man,
hopefully we can do this again in the future.
I'm with it, man. Anytime you need me, I'll bring a couple of students. I don't know if that'll help. I can put
that'd be really cool,
moves on them. Choke. Hey, he getting choked out right now. Tap. You better tap on a snap.
And you just hear like, choking.
I'm be like, what happened, man? I think he just choked his dog out. He was trying to show him a technique. I've been wrestling with my dog, man. He's bad. That dude is, man, he's something else, man. Yeah. I hope this helped, man. I mean, I hope that the people take from this that, yeah, I am silly. I like to have fun. But martial arts, like I said, once again, it's a way of life, man. People don't want to admit that, you know what I'm saying? But it is. And you got to have a certain mindset because you can't teach everybody the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of my mindset of, yeah, I got a modules that I teach off of. And then the concept of modules is a weekly regimen of this, this, and this. Well, I got some people where they'll come in and they'll pick up that first week of everything I give them. Then the next group of people come in and they'll kind of got stuck on something. Well, I really don't get this grab or this pull. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Let's go ahead and go over that again. Because why fast forward them when they even got the first three steps and give them three more? And then now it's like, now I'm really confused because it's like, I think I got this. And then someone's going to get hurt, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So be patient with the students, man. Whoever listens to this, if you're an instructor or whatever, give the person what they need. You know what I'm saying? Martial arts, like they say, people always ask me, well, what's your favorite style or what's the best martial arts out there? There's no such a thing. Martial arts, like I said, you have to make the martial art work for you. You can't go into that whole mindset of, well, this is karate or this is judo or this is taekwondo or this is kung fu, because there's so many different variations of the same thing. It's all about what you want to get out of it is what you're going to put in it. It's just like anything else. If you like chocolate ice cream, you're going to do what you got to get your chocolate ice cream fixed. You know what I'm saying? If you like vanilla, you ain't going to mess with chocolate. This ain't your thing. Me as a kid, I couldn't stand that Neapolitan ice cream with the three flavors in it. Because my brothers and sisters used to always eat the vanilla and strawberry and leave me the chocolate. Like, man, I got enough chocolate on me to last a lifetime. I don't need no more, man. But, yeah, so that's that on that, man. I love martial arts, man. I never thought in a million years that I'd be explaining anything to anybody, telling anybody, because I thought when I learned that this is for me, I don't care about nobody else, and it's all about me, give me as much as I can so I could defend myself or fight if need be. And like I said, having an uncle as an instructor, he kind of whipped that out of me, like way early on. He's like, nah, man, you're not about to be doing this and that, and you know, and I'm thankful for it. Like I said, sometimes it's kind of like, man, this dude was so hard on me. Why was you so hard on me? It's because I wanted you to be a good man for society. I think I am.
I think so, too.
Thanks. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, let's get into some upcoming events. August 8th and 9th, Miss Vera Harrison's annual seminar on the 8th and tournament on the 9th. I won't be in town, but I suggest anybody who's in Peoria should really try to attend this one. Also, August 16th, two events going on that day. The first one, the 4th Annual Martial Arts Warrior Championships in Champaign, Illinois, as well as John Pellegrini hosting a combat Hapkido seminar in Joliet, Illinois at DSIHQ.com. Finally, August 23rd and 24th, the 2014 Day of Warriors held in Rock Island, Illinois. I think maybe it should be called the Days of Warriors, or maybe the Weekend of Warriors since it's held over 2 days. Just a thought there. If you'd like to contact me, you can email me at adambockler@gmail.com, tweet me at adambockler on Twitter. You can go to adambockler.com to find new episodes, as well as the Martial Arts Podcast on Facebook. Finally, thanks to Mr. Ed Parker for talking to me this month and for being a gracious host. Thanks to BJ Averly for the music, and thanks to you for listening. You've been great. This has been the Martial Arts Podcast.